Okay, we'll get the meeting of the Beaver Traffic Commission to order. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2019. Roll call would be Commissioner Henderson?
Present.
Commissioner Cohen?
Present.
Vice Chair Johnson?
Present.
Commissioner McLean?
Present.
Commissioner Brown?
Present.
Chair Conway? Present. And Commissioner Beatty is absent and excused. That takes care of that part. Next up is our visitor comments. Are there any? We have one visitor comment card. Thank you. This applies to anything that is not on the agenda. If there's something on the agenda, you are not allowed to comment on that during the part. So first up, Bill Blackwell.
Hello. My name is Bill Blackwell. My address is 8655 Southwest Sorrento Road in Beaverton. Lived there for 32 years, and thanks for hearing me out today. So, are we addressing the new business first, the beacon, or the other topic?
No, the only thing you can comment on is anything other than beacon. Beacon's not allowed at all at this point.
Okay. So I filled out a yellow card. What I'd like to have presented to the commissioners to consider evaluating the timing for the intersection for the light at Brockman and Sorrento. I went to the commission to vote for the light, and I do appreciate having light. It was a pretty dangerous intersection. However, the light is extremely long. I'll be sitting there at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night for, I think it's 2 minutes or minute and a half. It's quite long. I think it may be timed with Brockman and 125th. I'm not certain. But it's longer than other intersections such as Hart and Hall. Eaton Hall, Greenway and Hall, probably as long as Brockman and Murray. So I just wanted to submit that to see if I could get that evaluated, and if there's any other action I should take, I'd love to hear about that.
No, the other thing you can always do is you can submit it to the Engineering Traffic Department on the website. You can submit those, you can email anybody in the department as well. And make a request. Some of those the city traffic engineer can take care of without a hearing. Other ones need to come before us, so they've got some discretion to take care of that. But now that it's on here, we'll add it to the list and we'll have some to take a look.
Thank you very much.
Okay, very good, and appreciate you coming down and making a comment on that. And again, I do that on site, or you can always come down and bring it to our attention. Sometimes there's safety issues that are not to explain, so those are always appreciated as well. Next up is the staff comment period. We have a replacement for Mr. Kusher this evening.
Yes, Commissioners, this is Floyd Harrington, City Engineer, and I'm standing in for Jabra, as he is out of the country. So we have two issues here to read into the record. I'll read off the first one, and then Tina Nguyen is here with me, and she will read the second. Number one, City Traffic Engineer's Report, issue number TC.
Okay, actually, we'll do that when we get to the public hearing portion. Oh. We just need the general staff comments right now about any items that are not part of the hearing, or has there been an update from the last? Usually it entails the information about.
I don't think there was any additional testimony received.
So. No, but then also, with any updates from last, you know, did they finish fixing? And if not, then?
I know of none.
Okay. Perfect, thank you. Okay, so next up is the consent agenda items. These would entail the rewrite of the TC 788, which is the truck parking on the Northwest 169 Place. The reason we needed to do that was it needed to be rewritten and reworded enough that it required a reprint rather than just an update. So that has already been decided to take place. And then the other one is meeting minutes from our last meeting, in February, so it'll be January 3rd, 2019. I make a motion to approve consent agenda items consistent with TC 78 rewrite and minutes of the JRB.
I'll second the motion.
Commissioner McLean seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So motion passes 6-0 with one absent. Okay. Next up then, now we go to the public hearing portion, and we have two items on the agenda this evening. We'll rewrite, read for the public statement as part of the public hearing portion. This will apply to both of our hearings this evening. So the Traffic Commission will now hold hearings on TC numbers 789 Crosswalk Pedestrian Beacon on Milliken and 12 Mills Nature Park, and TC 790 Crosswalk Pedestrian Beacon at Southwest Denny and Phantom Creek Trail. The hearing will begin with a report from the city traffic engineer, followed by testimony from the person who submitted the proposal. City traffic engineer's report will list the applicable substantive criteria and the reasons behind the recommendation. We will then hear testimony from other interested parties. If you wish to testify, please complete one of the yellow cards available at the table near the entrance of the room and give the card to a reporter shelf. Evidence of the testimony must be directed to criteria in section 6.02.060 determined to be applicable by the city traffic engineer or other criteria. Current city, metro, TriMet, state, federal laws or policies which you believe would affect this decision. After hearings closed, the commission will deliberate on the evidence received and make an oral decision to approve. Approve with conditions or deny the proposal. Decisions will not be final until a written order is signed by the chairperson. All persons who will testify will receive a written notice of the final decision of this commission. Decisions of the commission or recommendations to the city council become effective after approval by council. Typically, traffic commission recommendations appear in the consent agenda of the council and are approved by a council without discussion. City council ordinarily does not conduct a public hearing on such recommendations. Any decision of the commission may be appealed to city council. When an appeal is properly filed, a separate hearing will be scheduled before council. Any appeal must be filed with the court within 10 days of the date of the traffic commission's final written order. And the procedures for written appeals are available from the Office of the City Traffic Engineer and the City Recorder. So with that in mind then, now we begin. We will take them one at a time. So TC 789, sir?
So we'll read the City Traffic Engineer's report now. So
thank you.
This is for TC 79, Crosswalk Pedestrian Beacon on Southwest Millington Way, the Paul Nature Park. The background information. Requested by staff, the city's active transportation plan has identified pedestrian and bicycle crossing improvement throughout the city. One of these identified locations is the West Side Trail crossing on Southwest Milliken Way at the 12th Mills Nature Park, project ID number CR31. The city has also received calls from trail users to install a marked crosswalk at this location. Milliken Way is classified as a four-lane collector street, two through lanes in each direction, with a posted speed of 35 miles per hour. There are pedestrian crossing warning signs and median islands on Milliken Way at the West Side Trail crossing near 12 Hills Nature Park. The median island provides a refuge area for pedestrians when crossing the street. A traffic count taken in August 2017 shows that Milliken Way carries approximately 12,100 cars a day. National research and guidelines published by the Federal Highway Administration, FHWA, does not recommend installing a marked crosswalk at uncontrolled locations, intersections, and mid-block locations with no traffic signal or stop signs on the approach of the crossing. On multi-lane, four lanes or more roads that carry greater than 12,000 vehicles per day with a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. This recommendation is due to the increase in pedestrian crash risks if marked crosswalks are added without other substantial crossing improvements, such as a raised median islands, warning beacons or traffic signals are warranted to improve crossing safety. The manual uniform traffic control devices gave interim approval to allow for the use of rectangular rapid flashing beacons as a warning beacon to supplement standard pedestrian crossing warning signs and markings where crosswalk approach is not controlled by a yield or a stop sign or by a traffic signal. Research on RRFB, that's the acronym for rectangular rapid flashing beacons, showed a very high compliance rate of motorists appealing to pedestrians. The research showed the RRFB has a high 80s to almost 100% compliance rate in comparison to the 25% or 15% to 20% range for a standard yellow circular flashing beacon. Also, the high yielding rates are sustained after 2 years in operation. Staff is proposing to install a marked crosswalk and an RRFB on Southwest Milligan Way at the Westside Trail crossing near Twalton Hills Park, Mitchport. The cost to install the crosswalk and the beacons is approximately $40,000. The current public works budget for operations has available funds to improve this crossing. Applicable criteria. The applicable criteria for BRT code 6.02.060A is 1A, provide for safe vehicle, bicycle, and pedestrian movements. 1B, help ensure orderly and predictable movements of vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians. And 2, all proposed new traffic devices shall be based on the standards of the MTCD. Conclusions. 1. The addition of a marked crosswalk and an RRFB with the existing median island on Southwest Milligan Way at the Westside Trail crossing near Walden Hills Nature Park will meet the FHWA guidelines for installing a marked crosswalk and will improve pedestrian safety and ensure orderly and predictable movement of vehicles and pedestrians satisfying criteria 1A and 1B. The rectangular rapid flashing beacons meet the guidelines of the MTCD satisfying criteria 2. Recommendations. 1. Approve the request to install a marked crosswalk and a rectangular rapid flashing beacon on Southwest Milligan Way at the Westside Trail crossing near Walton Hills Nature Park. The packet includes a detail of this location and then also a memo from our police department, Sergeant Steve Shearer, that is in support of this.
Thank you. Two questions before we begin to make sure we kind of get everything in line. The diagram that we have in the packet, is the plan to offset the curve from the path as they've done in some scenarios? If you take it, if you're at Power Line Park in some places, the curve and the trail don't. The curb cut and the trail don't actually align for the purpose of making sure that the pedestrian doesn't roll right on out there. So a marked crosswalk now, I think, I can go ahead and go. So is this picture accurate, or are they going to actually offset those from where the path hits the sidewalk?
What the offset is on Island. So you're asking if the median will be an offset? It will be offset when we design and lay it out.
No, where the trail abuts the sidewalk and the curb cut to from the sidewalk to the road typically is moved so that a person using that's the Power Line Trail doesn't just go straight on out there. So is this picture accurate or?
No, there would be an offset.
Okay, and then the purpose of the island is only for the third flashing beacon light, not necessarily a waypoint for people to stop, right?
Right, but we'll have a push button there just in case someone gets stuck out there. It's standard to have one in the middle when there's two directions of traffic each way.
Perfect, thank you.
Any questions for you?
Okay.
I have a quick question. The MUCTD manual did not give approval for the rectangular flashing beacon in the past, and we had approved some measures that were going to install just a flashing yellow light instead. Would we be able to go back and retrofit those? Because the rectangular flashing beacons are superior.
It is approved. It wasn't for a while because of some issues with the company not having the right someone to design the flashing beacon, how fast it goes, the rate. So they took it out for a while, but now it is effective, I think, sometime last year.
Right, but we had approved, I think it's Allen, on Allen Boulevard, and I don't even know if it's been done yet, but I'm saying, can we go back and do a rectangular beacon instead of just the flashing yellow, which is in there?
That project, that location is almost done. We're waiting for the concrete to dry, and so it will be a rapid flashing beacon there.
There will be?
Yes,
oh,
it
okay.
is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Commissioner, usually we get crash or accident data for the intersection. Was there in the last 3 years?
At this location at the nature park, I don't think there is. I don't remember having one in the last 3 years.
Okay. At this point, then we'll now take. We begin the public hearing portion. What we'll do is we'll take the cards in the order that they were brought up. Go ahead and state your thoughts and opinions. Again, follow the green card. And as we go on, if somebody has already said something that is applicable, you don't need to repeat it again. You can simply say I support what was said prior. Both in interest, time, and clarity, though. So if you have new items and information, please include those, and we're happy to hear it. So first up, Scott Wagner. Thanks, sir.
Good evening. My name is Scott Wagner. I work for THBRD. I'm a nature and trails specialist. I am, thank you for having me this evening. I am in support of the traffic beacon. I actually worked at the nature park in my previous position there as the park ranger. And so I know a lot of the neighbors around there. And I know that since we've been connecting our regional trail system, especially with the expansion in the last 2 years, the West Side Regional Trail that slips north kind of around the nature park, it increases bike flow. We also have plans to work with ODOT to actually connect in the Beaverton Creek Trail, which is a future trail for us, into that same junction that's going to connect maybe the heart of kind of Beaverton to the nature park and the West Side Trail that goes all the way down to Barrows and up to Rock Creek and hopefully one day up into to Forest Park. And so we are in support of the traffic beacon just from a level of patron safety in that area. The park itself has over 120,000 visitors annually that come to the park and use the trails around there. So thank you so much.
Excellent. One question here. So you technically, sorry, we're going to do this for the thing. You represent the THBRD board or the employees or just the?
Oh, THBRD. I'm a staff member with the Nature and Trails Department.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. All right. Any questions? Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up, Earl. Oh, and Jenny. Allie?
Jenny. I'm Jenny Lowing, my husband Earl, and we have lived for 7 years at West Park, which is the big condominium complex right at Milliken and Valley Highway. We are speaking in favor of the beacon lights. We have our Fitbits and we are retired, but do a considerable amount of walking on the West Side Regional Trail and in the nature park. I'm sure I'm at that crosswalk at least 5 times a week and see a huge amount of activity of bicyclists, dog walkers, fellow walkers, and runners. And just feel from the safety aspect, it would be a wonderful addition to have it there. We also own bicycles, so in the summer we do a good bit of bicycling on that trail. Because it's a four-lane road, I have had several times where I've been trying to cross and one car will stop, but the car in the next lane does not stop. So there is a danger there. I will admit that just when I come to that intersection, I often hang back if there are many, many cars coming, just because I don't want 8 cars idling for me to cross. But I know that's an aside, but the runners want to go straight, the bicyclists want to go straight, but I sometimes hold back just from another aspect of not wanting fossil fuels burning. But we speak very much in favor, and think from a safety point of view, very beneficial.
Thank you. Question? Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming down. Appreciate everyone who takes part. Next up, Wade McJacobs.
Hello, I'm Wade McJacobs, and I am also a resident in the community that was just described, right, at Milliken and TV Highway. And I'm speaking in favor of the light as well to be put in. But I also have a concern, and that is that because of the curve at that point, I'm concerned that the traffic will be going slow enough to not come to a screeching halt when the light goes on. There's my sense and a lot of neighbors' sense that the speed on Milliken, and notice the Traffic Commission didn't mention anything about the speed, they talked about predictable traffic. My sense is that the traffic at that particular point would not be predictable because of the speed. People, in our perception, the neighbors that live there, they know the speed limit is 35, but that is not what most people go at that particular place, especially coming down from Canyon. They slow down a little bit because of the railroad tracks that are right there by where the trail crossing is, but coming from down from Canyon, and because of that curve at that particular point, certain people won't slow down enough, and that could cause a problem and make it light less effective.
So you're saying, I'm sorry, sir, you're saying that you don't think that people will obey a traffic device?
I'm concerned that many of the drivers going down that road are going fast enough that when they see the light suddenly come on, they will have a choice to make of either stomping on the brakes coming to a screeching halt or going through the light, causing whatever that might cause to happen. The timing, because of the speeds, I mean, I've seen people go what looks like highway speeds on that particular stretch of road.
Okay, has the community ever requested a speed analysis?
I have sent in a request on at least 4 occasions. And, no, 3 occasions, but I've spoken with the mayor informally, just when we happened to be on the MAX train together. I've also spoken with, I don't know his name, but a person on the Asian fellow who's on the Traffic Commission, about that particular concern. So I've registered in the city at least 3 different occasions.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the speaker.
Well, to take a look at, I know that the one on Barber, which is in the middle of a high speed area, is very effective because they
also know that they
give you time to stop. So we'll
they put up those lights that tell you how fast you're going when you're.
Right.
They've done that twice in that particular area, but both times they've done it is during vacation times in the winter when the traffic patterns are different. So I don't know how effective the results were from this.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Question? All right. And then the last one we have here is John Cope.
Yeah, Cope.
Cope.
Thanks for holding me here. Appreciate the chance to talk. I live 3 miles from the nature park. I've been going there for 20 years. Now that I'm retired, I go there 3 to 5 times a week. So, and I go both sides of the West Lake Trail, so I cross exactly there quite often. And so I'm totally in favor of putting a light there. My experience in life is that in any engineering adventure, one thing you have to worry about is the black swan.
that is a thing that's not supposed to happen, very low probability, but could happen. It always seems like it does. And I think there are a couple different sources of variability that increase the likelihood of a negative outcome. One is the great increase in number of visitors to that nature park. I mean, it's just, it goes like that. The number of cars on that highway have increased dramatically, and the speed varies a lot. There are times when it looks like they're going 50. And I would think that the other sort of variability is in the user population. You have ethnic differences. There are some people who do not speak English as a primary language. There's a variety of different age groups. There are women with babies, there are little kids on bikes. And as the other speakers have said, you can't predict what drivers are going to do. One will stop and the other might speed up. So visibility of your lights is going to be absolutely critical, especially since cars back up in groups. It has to be high enough so that three or four or five cars back can have an awareness of what's happening when the car in front slows down for pedestrians. So those are my thoughts. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, seeing no other cards then, we will close the public hearing portion. Staff have any other comments, I guess? This is standard light. You're putting them at the same height. I guess, what's a good example if somebody wanted to go look, see what this is gonna look like? Because the Apple one isn't done yet. There's the one over on, Cascade?
There's one on Milliken and 154th out here.
Oh, right, by Nike.
The one actually, there's two of them. One the city put in, the other where Nike put in.
That's right, there's one right down the street. So that's a perfect example, and it's already there. Thank you. Excellent point. Share anything for the event work. Okay, are there any comments or thoughts, or general discussion, or motion, or?
I'll just have a quick comment. I'm strongly in favor of this. I think it's definitely going to help safety, and it's a good use of the public works funds if we have them available. So I'm strongly in favor.
Yep, I think that's a good point to note. Same with the traffic calming. The traffic calming program, the flashing light program, the city has budget money every year for these kind of things. In some cases, they're utilized. In other cases, they're not at all. So here's a case where I think we have the funds and things are set up, so I don't see any of that. Commissioner Anderson.
I understand the concerns about whether or not people will stop, and also the speed on that road is quite high. But I think that this proposal makes it a safer crosswalk no matter what. So I'm strong for it.
Yeah. And I think the only thing is that, as we've seen in the past, the timing and the duration are adjusted based on the situation. So it's not like they're going to be sitting down low around the corner. They'll be high enough that they can. And I think in the case of Milliken, if you're interested in seeing what those look like, Nimbuson Hall. If you go over to Nimbuson Hall, like where there's the one strip mall there where all the people cross at lunchtime. The corner was strong enough that they put in another light notifying you that the flashing beacons are going to be going. So I think it's an excellent point and definitely going to work better. So, with that in mind, I'd make a motion to approve as written GC 789 crosswalk pedestrian beacons up as Milton Way and 12 Mills Nation Park.
I'll second.
Commissioner Henderson, a second. Final discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. All right. Next up, we'll go to TC 790. Same readings apply, so we'll go straight to staff comments. Or, I'm sorry, engineer's report. Sorry.
Oh, you want me to be
comments, not.
This is a crosswalk and pedestrian beacon on Southwest Denny Road at Fennel Creek Trail. Background information requested by staff. The city active transportation plan ATP had identified pedestrian and bicycle crossing improvement throughout the city. One of these identified locations is the Phantom Creek Trail crossing on Southwest Denny Road, east of 11th Avenue. Project ID number CR101. The city has also received calls from trail user to install a marked crosswalk at this location. Denny Road is a classified as a three-lane collector street, one through lane in each direction, and a center turn lane. With a posted speed of 35 miles per hour, there are pedestrian crossing warning signs and a median island on Denny Road at the Grand Creek Crossing. The median island provides a refuge area for pedestrians and allows pedestrians to cross the street in two stages. A traffic count taken in September 2018 showed that Denny Road carried approximately 12,700 vehicles per day. National research and guidelines published by the Federal Highway Administration, FHWA, does not recommend installing a marked crosswalk at uncontrolled locations, intersections, and mid-block location with no traffic signal or stop signs on the approach of the crossing on three-lane roadways that carry greater than 12,000 vehicles per day with a 35 miles per hour speed limit. This recommendation is due to the increase in pedestrian cross risk if marked crosswalks are added without other substantial crossing improvements, such as a raised median island, warning beacons, or a traffic signal were warranted to improve crossing safety for pedestrians. The manual on uniform traffic control devices in UTCD have interim approval to allow for the use of rectangular rapid flashing beacons, RRFB, as a warning device to supplement standard pedestrian crossing warning signs and markings where the crosswalk approach is not controlled by a yield or a stop sign or a traffic signal. Research on the RRFB show a very high compliance rate of motorists yielding to pedestrians. The research showed that the RRFB has a high 80s to almost 100% compliance rate in comparison to 15 to 20% range for standard yellow circular flashing beacons. Also, the high yielding rates are sustained after 2 years in operation. Staff is proposing to install a marked crosswalk and rectangular rapid flashing beacons on Southwest Denny Road at the Phantom Creek Trail crossing east of 111th Avenue. The cost to install the crosswalk and the beacon is approximately $35,000. The City of Beaverton and Tualatin Hills Parks and Recreation District, THPRD, have reached an agreement to share the cost of the installation of the crosswalk and the RFB at this location. See attached letter from THPRD. Applicable criteria. The applicable criteria from Beaverton Code 6.02.060A is 1A, provide a safe vehicle, bicycle, and pedestrian movements. 1B, help ensure orderly and predictable movement of vehicles, bicycle, and pedestrians. 2, all proposed new traffic devices shall be based on standards of the MUTCD. Conclusion 1, the addition of a marked crosswalk and RFB with existing median island on Southwest Denny Road at the Phantom Creek crossing would improve pedestrian safety and ensure orderly and predictable movement of vehicles and pedestrians satisfying criteria A, 1A and 1B. The rectangular rapid flashing beacons meet the guidelines of the MUTCD satisfying criteria on 2. Recommendation 1. Approve the request to install a mid-block marked crosswalk and rectangular rapid flashing beacons on Southwest Denny Road at the Phantom Creek Trail east of 111th Avenue. Attached is also a drawing of the location and the two begin on each side of the road. And also a memo from Steve Shear to support the installation of the beacons.
Thank you. Two follow-ups, and I meant to ask this on the other one. Is Chief Curdy assisting with the planning cost of this one because of the future updates that are going to be done to Denny between 105th and King Boulevard, or is that unrelated?
I'm not sure, but it's, I haven't heard of that, so I'm assuming it's unrelated.
Okay, and then the construction timing of this will or will not be in sync with the CIP program for that section, Denny?
Is that the pathway that you're talking about?
Yeah, so there, yeah, on the north side of the trail, on the north side of Denny, that's going to be redone.
The pathway will probably go first because it's going to go out to bid in March, which is this month. And I'm doing the design for the street lighting or the pathway lighting. And in that design, I'm preparing for the two foundations on each side of the road to install the rapid flashing beacon here. So it's prepared so that when we come in, we don't have to tear up the sidewalk and begin redo the foundation, so it's all ready to for the installation.
Okay, and then they can reuse part of the ADA that's in there now, and the island. You're gonna leave the island where it is now.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Other questions? All right, perfect. In that case, then we'll open the public hearing portion. And again, date to order received. Looks kind of familiar. Ms. Wagner. Awesome.
Thank you again. Scott Wagner, Natural Resource and Trails Specialist with TH Barity's staff member. We are in favor of this. We actually were kind of sponsors originally and working with the city of Beaverton and initially in those discussions. And as stated, we are willing to go up to, I think it's a matching fund up to $20,000 that we're offering to put this one on in. We know from a trail counter that we actually installed for 5 years there on our section of trail of the Phantom Creek Trail that we have over 120,000 visitors or tick marks that use that trail. And we're trying to improve the connectivity of the Phantom Creek Trail from Garden Home all the way down to our border that extends all the way to Tiger. That's all. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. And I appreciate the traffic count. That's really, I think, or not that, yeah, that pedestrian count, I think it really helps to kind of put things in perspective too. So much appreciated.
For sure.
Quick question.
Commissioner Brown?
Mr. Wagner.
Yes.
Out of curiosity more than anything else, but THBRD is going to put $20,000 into this one, but didn't want to put any money into the other.
The other one was a little bit of a surprise to us. We weren't involved in the original discussion. I think that was actually something that came through the city of Beaverton and some of their staff folks were there. It was something that this one was one of the priorities that we had on our bucket list. And so, especially with like the Faneuil Creek crossing, and there's some other moving parts along kind of that whole trail corridor and the expansion of Denny. ODOT's going to be reconfiguring the highway system around there and some of the on-ramps. And so we're actually in negotiation with them right now as well, because they'll have to trigger, the bike bill that's going to improve trail access throughout there. That's actually possibly going to improve trails up to like Western. So it was just a strategic opportunity for us to support something in an area that we know in the future is going to see more trail use and access.
Awesome. That's right. Thank you. Appreciate. Yeah, I forgot about that. The ODOT diamond change there.
Yeah.
Plus the lane widening. Thank you. Next up, then George Olson.
Thanks. The first thing I'd like to ask, which hasn't been clear, is this going to be the same kind of light?
And I'm sorry, sir, if you could follow the green thing before we begin, make sure we understand.
Oh, George Olson, representing myself, 11570 Southwest Cardinal, which is in between Denny and Paul. And I'm in favor of pedestrian safety. I'm not opposed to this, but I have some questions about it.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't read that. Is this light proposed for Denny the same as the light that's on Paul near Greenway?
No.
Okay, that was never clear in the posting at the trail. I walk the trail about 5 days a week. I live in between Hall and Denny, so I was concerned that there was going to be a light similar to Hall on Denny, which I thought was overkill. Most of the, in my experience in walking the trail almost every day, most of the people that walk that trail park in the parking lot at Denny and walk south. Not very many people walk across Denny, then across 217, and then parallel to 217 to follow it to Garden Home. I know that that's a goal of the Fennel Creek Trail, but not as many people do that. So if it had been a flashing red and all that like Hall Boulevard, I was going to oppose that. I think what you're proposing now, which is a flashing yellow like at school crossings, is fine. So that's basically my statement. But I admit that I didn't know the level of the crossing that was being proposed, because I was gonna question the cost of a Hall Boulevard level installation on Denny. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, thank you. Next up is Bill Blackwell again.
Hello again, Bill Blackwell, 8655 Southwest Sorrento Road. I'm in favor of this. I guess I want to say first, I use the Fennel Creek Trail frequently, 4, 5, 6, even 7 times a week. It's a fantastic resource. The crossing at Hall made things much better, and I was really excited to see the sign posted for this potential opportunity here at Denny. I guess just like, want to throw in a couple of my experiences for this crossing at Denny. So vehicles approaching from both directions. Speed limit 35. Maybe people go a little faster than that, but they're both coming downhill, whether they're going west or east. And if you're crossing Denny from going north, the first thing is that you're standing behind a telephone pole, and so the cars coming from the west to east don't see you. But either way, even when they do see you, and there are signs there, they blow through there quite often, as compared to other crosswalks that I experienced on bike rides and runs. So I think that from a safety standpoint, this is a really good opportunity, and I'm really glad to see it come up for consideration. My other experience that I'd like to share is that, so if I'm riding my bike to work, especially depending on the time of year, it'll be dark in the morning and it might even be dark at night. And even though I have lights, that's an especially dangerous time to cross there. So I think I just wanted to share those examples of some safety concerns that I had. And so I'm excited to have this up for discussion and vote, and again, I'm in favor of it.
All right, thank you.
Well, thanks.
Last card, Brian Walker.
I'm Brian Walker. I'm a member of the Beaverton Bicycle Advisory Committee, but I'm representing myself tonight. I live at 9050 Southwest Parkview. I am in favor of this proposal. In fact, I've suggested this to our traffic engineer for several years. I think it's long overdue. I am a year-round bike commuter. This is part of my regular route to work. I have noticed that with the crosswalk as it is, compliance is like maybe 1 in 8. The compliance for drivers actually stopping for people in the crosswalk is really low. And so having more crosswalk, having a beacon there, I think would help drivers get to have to note that they actually have to stop for pedestrians. All I have to say.
Excellent, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, I see no other cards, so we will close the public hearing portion. Are there any final comments from the staff?
No.
Then, are there any general discussions by commission? I will say, I applaud T.H. Brady for helping out, and again, I think that the count of the crossing count really helps put a lot of things in perspective, because I think that the piece, as was mentioned, that was missing is that the traffic counts within the greenway showed that they had approximately 2 people every minute throughout the summer, constantly going on that on greenway. But then they stop, as was mentioned, at Denny because they don't want to cross that road. ODOT's going to fix the other part. Now 108th goes through, and you can take the side road all the way out to Allen and Shoals, and then hopefully we can get the diagonal beacon fixed and get that going and extend that area. I think we were here for the other portion of that hearing some time ago. So I definitely applaud to THPD for helping out. And so if you pass along my thanks, and I'm sure everyone else's, it definitely is a big plus to see the vision kind of going beyond that. So that in mind, some of you have, you know, Commissioner Anderson?
Yeah, there was a concern about the signal being similar to the Hawkeye that's on Hall. And in my opinion, the rapid flashing beacons are much brighter and they catch your attention. It's like a strobe light. You can't miss the fact that it's on. And so it could be less expensive, but and better in my opinion. So I think it's a win-win.
Yeah. And again, I think that the timing with the visibility and the road curve, that those are taken into account. So it's not like there's a standard. I don't believe there's a standard to fix on those. But adjust for the amount of time, visibility, and speed of the road. So I think many of the safety instructions. And if you do have those, you're more than welcome to submit information as any comment to this deal. So we have to hold your question.
Can I make just one simple?
What actually, technically no, but you can submit those or talk to them as soon as this is over. In that general sense.
I just wanted to say that the 20 mile an hour speed limit at the school, I wish that was a flashing yellow like he's talking about, because I see people never slow down.
Right, and that would be something to submit as, and again, any of the comments or concerns about safety or adherence are always brought up. Those you can put the, and that's what the trailer, actually, that's a perfect one to bring up to Mr. Cascio on his return. So if you submit an email to Mr. Cascio and ask him to put out the handy-dandy speed wagon, we have a volunteer that goes out and puts the trailer out there, and folks will get their picture taken, and more money for the city, so thank you, have to take that. Any other comments? I would make a motion then to approve as written TC 790 crosswalk pedestrian beacon at Southwest Dating Road and Phantom Creek Trail.
I'll second.
Commissioner McClain, second. Sarah Chair Conway, motion. Final discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Well done. All right, next up is old business. I don't see any on our list. Is there any new business? Okay, and then at this time, usually they have enough notice. Will there be an April meeting? No. Oh, I see. I thought you were like me. Okay, very good. All right, in that case, is there any other items for the commission to bring up? All right, in that case then, thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming down, and we adjourn.